Kia ora and welcome to this episode of The Stag Roar. This episode is brought to you by our mates at Modern Pirate, 100% carbon neutral. Modern Pirate makes an amazing range of men's grooming products, and if you're one of our Aussie listeners, then you've probably seen them in your quality barber shop. I've used the pomade in their matte clay paste to style what hair I have left, and their charcoal soap is the business. You can get 10% off every order by simply entering the code STAGROAR at checkout. That's lowercase STAGROAR. Look good and support yet another quality Kiwi export that the Aussies are sure to claim as their own. Check them out at modernpirate.com.au. That code again is STAGROAR.
Kia ora and Happy New Year to everybody out there. We're back on the STAGROAR. This episode, I'm joined by the mastermind, John Moore, who came up with the Aotearoa Ultra that I partook in last Saturday. Hell of a day. I'm not going to lie, there were tears. Quite a bit of walking. Quite a bit of swearing. John at the end there talks about the road from Gibbs Pass up to the summit road there on the Port Hills of Christchurch. And it's nicknamed the Bastard by cyclists going around these little bends in it forever carrying on. It's a bit like that when you're running too. But yeah, I was definitely calling it a lot sterner words than the Bastard, that was for sure. But as my mum put up, I did the whole day with a smile on my face. Especially having Billy there cheering me on, that was absolutely amazing. And mum and dad as well, that was pretty special. That probably brought on a few of the tears as I was going down those last few Ks of Kennedy's Bush. It was pretty sparse for a place that's named Bush, but yeah, it was hard work, satisfying work, and the further away I get from it, the more and more satisfied it is. And as I said in the podcast, these running shoes that are in front of me are looking appealing again, and it's only Thursday, so yeah, amazing what a few days off, a few celebratory beverages and foods and, you know, spent regaling the towel can do for your motivation. It's straight back there. So don't know what'll be next. Plenty of hunting, that's for sure. Making the most of this fitness, this hill fitness. But yeah, I sort of thought on the day that I wouldn't do it again, but yeah, getting itchy feet, I guess. If you listen to this on the Friday, be sure to check out The Revenant on Instagram, because Hal's Water is taking part in that. Good luck to her. Hal's Water Worth that we had on, she's part of the reason I entered this bloody race. Thanks, Hal's. No, all the best. That's going to be a massive weekend, massive event. If you listen to this after the weekend, go back and check it out, because I'm sure there'll be some cool content coming from those guys. And yeah, I'm no expert. I can tell you what not to do, I'm sure. And I'd love to hear from you if you've got any ideas or thoughts or whatever. Hope you enjoy this chat with John. He's a legend. And yeah, he might have the race for you. Cheers.
Okay, cheers.
Brilliant. Kia ora, everyone. Welcome back to the Stag Roar. I'm joined by the man behind the Aotearoa Ultra that put me through a lot of pain on Saturday. My first question for you, John, is do you drink black coffee?
No, I don't, no.
Because I was thinking you must have a little sadistic side to you. There's a story about people that drink black coffee, they're a bit crazy. So maybe I'm the crazy one and you're the smart one that just comes up with amazing courses.
I wouldn't run that distance that you guys did anyway that way. Oh, I probably would, but...
Mate, So that was the inaugural Aotearoa Ultra. How did you come up with the idea? Was it pre-COVID? And what was it like having that hanging over you?
We ran the South Island Ultra marathon over on the West Coast Wilderness Trail. And we basically, after that, we felt we always wanted to bring in another couple of ultra marathons. And we looked around, thought about where, what, and how. It was way before we all got struck by COVID, and it was November or I think go back to July, August last year that we've actually worked out where the course was. A lot of it came from a mountain biker who told me he trained on the hills over there on the Banks Peninsula. And he said he'd love to have a mountain bike race there. Well, I went over to Little River and drove over to Wainui and thought there's no way in hell we could have a mountain bike race here, because if we lost someone over the side, they'd be gone forever. And it was perfect for an ultra marathon. And basically then just drove around, really found all the roads that matched up, and then really put it together, tramped over Mount Herbert and got that worked out, and then put it all together and came up with the 101 Ks, which some tried to say it was 102 or 103 and 104. I think the longer you stop with the GPS, it adds a few K on. And the 101 is really where it had come to from about three different testings. So the 101 was born, and the simple maths that pulled back created the Pigeon Bay start at 53K. And the rest was basically history. Then we worked out the scale of the elevations, because I wanted to actually create something that matched the Australian trail run, because they're 4,000 meters of elevation. And this one was 3,975. I didn't want to say it was over four, but you have to go back through it again. It might be very, very close. So 3,975, Aotearoa was the right name, really making it New Zealand's ultra marathon, because I think the challenge that's there is going to want people to come back and come back and come back. And one to know, like, you enjoyed it.
Sort of, yeah. The more I get away from it, the more and more I feel better about it. And you know, I had some osteo tonight, so I'm feeling even better again. And you know, I'm just starting to get sort of cocky again. I've see my training camelback on the floor. So I haven't really unpacked. So I've got the backpack I used, and my worn out running shoes are on the floor, and I'm kind of like, oh, maybe I'll put them back on again. We were my flatmate that and I were great. Looking at triple peaks there, and then but I realised it's the same day as my daughter's birthday, so it won't be that one.
Like family holidays, mate, that's what it's all about. The event was born out of wanting to have an event that everyone strived for, and didn't want to really just make it a trail run, wanted to have mixed surfaces and challenges in there. Like when you hit Port Levy, you were sitting at Port Levy at -6 meters below sea level. And after you'd run up the top of Mount Herbert, after 21 Ks, you'd actually run continuously climbing of 997 meters. So actually a K going uphill, you know. So that's just awesome.
Yeah, I was laughing to myself on my way up through the forestry on that run, and on the side of the sort of forestry track there was foxgloves and deadly nightshade and toot and a bit of hemlock as well, and I sort of thought this is Don't Tempt Me Alley up through here. It just kept on going.
Just keeps on going, mate. It's you found in a lot of places it was quite damp as well, it was warm, it wasn't a cold day. But from the rain overnight, that created a lot of challenges, especially in round behind Mount Herbert for Packhorse Hut. Those rocks and that were pretty slippery. And when I went through on the Wednesday, I came down a couple of times, but only wore road shoes just to see what it was like, to tell everybody to basically not wear road shoes. So I had to test it.
it was pretty surprising getting up there. And I was cursing you a little bit when, you know, finally made it to Mount Herbert and started to come down, and all of a sudden there was mud and rocks everywhere, and I couldn't run anymore because it was just too treacherous. And a skinny little track with mud all through it. I was like, what is he doing?
It was the other day when I went down there, I thought, hey, this wasn't like this last time I came through.
right. And yeah. How many, like myself, got caught up in the forestry? Did you get much feedback of that?
Oh yeah, the forestry just need to change their think arrows, or the competitors need to realise when they get tired, they've still got to listen to the instructions they were given.
Mm.
The pink paint on the ground is ours.
Yeah.
The pink paint on the forestry trees is the forestry's. Yeah. So if you followed the orange Waratahs all the way through, you had no problems. There were about four people that got themselves mixed up. With the two crosses on two trees, and there was a pink arrow pointing to the two crosses. So some, maybe like yourself, decided to go take the arrow between the two crosses of the tree. God, it was obvious it wasn't a trail, for God's sake.
maybe someone had been through before me, because I did follow some like trail shoe footprints and things like that, and I was thinking, geez, John, you're getting technical on this one, like this wasn't needed. But then yeah, sure enough, when you said on Sunday, I don't know whether it was nerves or needing to do the nervous poo or what it was, but yeah, your words came flying back that, oh yeah, you did say that.
Yeah, I know. I got an email from somebody a photographer, and she said, oh, you should have had a red cross or a red arrow there. Well, she didn't even know what the race brief was, so I'm not quite sure what she was, instructions she was trying to give people. So, it's one. When I went through, I saw the red crosses and thought, well, no one's going to go there, surely. And didn't realise that there was a pink arrow on a tree, and I didn't see it.
Yeah,
like 80 or 85% of the people didn't see it. But it was quite one person rung me and said, oh, I'm lost. And I said, well, where are you? And she started to explain. I said, you may have gone, did you go between the two crosses with the pink arrow? And she goes, I don't think so. And she said, oh, there's two people behind me. So those people come up, caught up, and they said, oh no, you're on the trail, you're doing everything right. And they carried on and they were fine. So she wasn't wrong, but she thought because she had changed, you'd switched back. She thought that she was going back towards the pack horse hut.
Yeah.
When she was going down, she didn't quite. She was from very far north, and we were concerned that she was going the wrong way. When she wasn't, she was exactly right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. One wee girl, the girl, Bethany, who won it, she went wrong, but apparently she went wrong at the pack horse hut.
Right.
She took the wrong trail, so while she added a few extra Ks on, it wasn't the pink crosses on the trees that got her wrong. I asked her if she had turned at the pink X's on the tree, and that's what got people. She was talking about that, but someone else who was just behind her said, no, she went down the wrong trail, and they called to her, but she was just going for it.
Yeah.
So, and then she rang and said, I'm in the wrong spot. So I just asked her what she could see and where she could see things, and basically put her back on the straight and narrow. The next thing was going to be a photo, what do you call it, FaceTime me to turn the camera around to see where it was.
it was
a great day. I had probably four calls from the course where people just asked the question, and three of those questions were basically, they were at the two crosses on the tree, asking, do I go between the trees or what do I do? So
yeah.
I said, no, you don't even go there, keep going on the trail.
Oh, just, I don't know, Adobe's tried to join the party.
All right.
What am I doing here? There I am, back.
Lost yourself.
Right. Lost myself. Yep. Yeah. So, John, what's your sort of background when it comes to endurance events and things like that? What sort of ticks your boxes for putting people through that?
I know how to hurt. I've done Ironman twice, 2003, 2004. Prior to that, I actually did a ride for charity from Picton to Bluff nonstop. In 47 hours, 55 minutes and 40 seconds. Sat on a wind trainer for 1,000 Ks and did that in 35 minutes, 45. So, yeah, I think I know a little bit about endurance, but this body was probably 20K lighter than it is at the moment when all that happened. So the aim would be to get back and doing some things, but events have taken their toll on breaking bones of wrists and ankles and surgeries. So still like to get on the spin bike and ride. If I ride on the road, the jarring is too much on the wrist. But those were good fun days.
Absolutely.
No, it hurt to put it that way. And like to, it's good seeing other people experience, not the hurt, just the experience of the finish line, you know?
Yeah. So is it sort of, and I was going back to what I started with, the sadistic tendency to put yourself through pain, like how do you sort of scratch that itch these days, or do you have a little bit of satisfaction that you know you've done it?
Knowing you've done it and seeing everyone else do it, it's pretty cool because we run an array of events from, we've got the ultra marathons, we're doing mountain bike races, we're doing road races, cycling races, marathons, then we go into mud runs and fun runs. This weekend we've got a wine run. So everyone runs a K, has a wine and has a wine tasting, another K, does a wine tasting. So we're running about 26 events a year. And it's just, doing that is pretty cool to see people ticking the boxes, and we see about 10,000 plus competitors a year, so across the finish line, so it's pretty cool. And we run Run NZ Run, Virtual Events Club, and even a platform in Australia as well, so it's pretty cool seeing so many people doing things. So that probably scratches the satisfies, gets people doing things and finishing. And we do a lot of it for love. It's not the industry to become a millionaire in any way, put it that way. But it's a lot of fun. And so it's Carol's business, mate. I'm a kid man.
Very good. So with the virtual and online sort of running the country or doing tracks and things, was that, again, born out of COVID or something you...
Yeah, that was, but we had the template there. That was the funny thing about it. We launched Virtual Events Club pre-lockdown, and it was something that we'd thought about, and then we had to cancel. We cancelled two events, and we said, well, let's do it. So a lot of people in groups were surprised that we were doing it before anything happened, but it was always there. And the Run NZ Run came out of a format through a challenge we had. We had a call from a group in South Africa, and we had a four-way challenge of running to see which country could run the furthest over a week. South Africa, ourselves, Australia, and the UK. New Zealand got third, pipped by the UK. South Africans all of a sudden got a hell of a lot of Ks in the last night, as they always do. And Australia, quite a wee way back. But it was all really just about a marketing plan to get out and get people. We did it. And then South Africa was sending out virtual medals. And we said, hell, we'll send real medals. So we offered people real medals and people bought them. And then we thought, well, hey, why don't we do this for running different? We did Mother's Day. And in 8 days, we had 1,350 people signed up.
Wow.
For the 8 days to do Mother's Day 5K. So then I think we sold about 600 medals in 8 days. So it was like, holy hell, this is unreal. And so the platform was there, it was running, it was born. And since then, we've had, I think it's 14,000 people or 14,000 runs registered to, which we've got people doing things from who have never done anything in their life. They're walking Ks, they run the length in New Zealand. One of the competitors on Saturday had, in COVID, had done the length in New Zealand. I think she's sitting about second on the results board. Wow. So it's what we do. We're just living events, really. You know, we don't work at home. We sleep at work. That's about what it's like.
Yeah. And so how does your sort of relationship work with Heart Foundation?
Yeah, the Heart Foundation, we contacted the Heart Foundation and said, well, in COVID, you must be really hurting, which they were, and we said, well, we would do, if they wanted to come on board with us with Running Z Run, we'll set it up so people can donate. They said, what does it cost? We said, nothing, we'll just do it all. And we had our software people contact them, get their bank account number, and people donate, and it gets direct credit directly to them. We don't see the funds, it goes straight to them. And since then, it must be about $26,000 been raised. And wow. It's just like, wow, we're just blown away, because the Running Z Run is free. And then people can donate to the Heart Foundation if they want to, no pressure. And if they can buy a medal, no pressure either. And we just still administer it. So 40 to 50% of the people, we just do it for, show them the results, get them active. If they buy a medal, that'd be cool. And if they donate to the Heart Foundation, that's even better. So yeah, that's what that is. So yeah, so long may it continue.
Absolutely. It sounds really, really impressive. Now, mate, on the Sunday, you were giving away an entry to that South Island Ultra.
South Island, yeah.
And my heart sunk, and I looked around the room, and there were a lot of people that kind of dropped their head saying, I don't want to win this prize. when do people go do that, put themselves through that? As you said, it's a bit flatter than what we did on
that one. It's so different. It's spectacular, actually. You won't be on top of any mountains looking out. It's got a 560-meter elevation over the 100Ks. It's on the West Coast Wilderness Trail. So you run from Greymouth to Pokitika for the 100K. And the 54K is from Old Christchurch Road, which is basically around about halfway. It's the road access you can get into the start. It starts by a reservoir and finishes at Hokitika. And the 24K, you start at Hans Bay at Lake Canary and finish on beachfront. You see some magic. You're actually in virtually wetlands the whole way. It's in a form mountain bike trail, which has been basically voted the most scenic mountain bike race and mountain bike ride in New Zealand. And it's just magic. The trail's not closed, but at that time of year, and there's no bikers on the course anyway, and we have warning signs and marshals and everything all out there. It's just incredible. When we had to shut down for COVID, we had 230 in it. 30 of those were international. And we're looking to, at the moment, I think we're about 320 now for 8th of May. So it could be a 500 or 600 minute. Pokitika's going to burst, it seems. We set up to have a breakfast for everybody on the morning after the event at all the cafes. So part of your entry fee, you get a $20 chit to go and spend at the cafe.
Yeah.
And there's not enough cafes there, mate.
If you've got a food truck, get yourself to...
get over to Hokitika for it. It's going to be, I think we'll hit probably 600. We, concession allows us to go to 1,000, but we will have to review it because there's a few logistical things that we need to deal with. It's like there's a few logistical for last weekend's race. It was great with the number that we had because it gives that whole feel into it to know what we need to do for the fee, the food. We know exactly what food got eaten at each place, what people want, what people tell you they want and what they actually eat are two different things. The City Mission got a whole lot of bananas and Ronald McDonald House. We had something like 8 boxes of bananas and only 2 boxes got eaten on the weekend. Chips, we've got a heap here. Thankfully, they last. They'll be right for the 8th of May.
I was helping with those.
Yeah, every second person who went through took a packet of jet planes.
Yeah.
So whether they took them for that or took them home with them, I don't know. There was more water drunk than electrolyte drunk, which was interesting. And Coke only near the end was drunk. Basically, after people come across Mount Herbert on Station 7 and Station 8, that was the only two spots really that Coke started to be drunk. So the sugar, I still scratch my head about the Coke because of the ups you get from it and you crash so quickly. Shit.
Yeah. Well,
you get the electrolytes. Yeah.
There was some advice I got from someone that did the Topol 100. They said they saved the Coke for about 15 Ks to go, but they said as soon as they started, you could not stop. So
you can't stop. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I left it for that last one. So I said to the person on that station, I said, oh, I'm going to run home on fumes.
Yeah, that's right. So I still remember training and being depleted after 8 or 9 hours, run out of, you're basically a bonk in territory, and filled myself up with Coke and jelly beans. Mm-hmm. And it was like an up and down ride for the last 30K. It was terrible. So, yeah, you're better to really get the squeezy, gooey stuff into you that actually feeds you slowly with the sugars and keeps you a whole lot more balanced.
Yeah.
So for feeding, learning, and the biggest challenge to a lot of these places, because they're so remote, is getting the fluids to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like we had 350 litres in the back of the Ford Ranger, a fluid. We lost 60 litres of it because they slid round in the back, going around the bends on the climbs. And that was for station 6, 7, and 8. And we lost a lot through that. So what we need to do is, get the 1,000-litre tanks hauled in the day before and mix the fluids on site. So either for electrolytes and things like that. So it's logistically, it's a bit of a different ballgame, but that's what you need to do because fluid is so key for everybody. And you can't leave anyone high and dry because you could be up there and be bloody thirsty.
Absolutely. And you sort of floated the idea of choppering in a Portaloo up to the spur. What was, I don't think that track was too bad. What was your sort of limitation on that height, I suppose?
It was the truck that goes up there. So the guy tells me, who provided the loose, said that he'll do it for us. He'll get one there for you. But you could still carry on running through to the pack horse hut. You only had another 8K to go. Yeah. Two bags,
Yeah, or that downhill holding on tight before you got to the pack horse.
Yeah, I think you next year you'll have one there. It's going to be essential, really. Because I don't think everyone bought out what they took in, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. And so what would you love to see come next year with that Aotearoa Ultra? You mentioned that your fingers are crossed for that Aussie bubble to really start to marry up that Australian race.
Yeah, it would be great to see that happen, but I can't see it at the moment. I think in 12 months' time, New Zealand is either going to be really lucky and have COVID still as it is at the moment. If we get an outbreak, we'll soon find out if we have got a vaccine.
Yeah.
But, if Australia can get it under control to where they are at the moment, there's a possibility that it's still going to be 6 months or more. Mm. So, it'd be really neat to have the Aotearoa as a run and then the UTA one over the Australian trail race after it would be pretty cool. If not, you've got the Aotearoa and then you've got the South Island Ultra.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a very small, simple Ultra for you, probably going to be introduced in June as well.
Okay.
So it's one other, it's, we have a mountain bike race on the Sunday. So why not do the same course on the Saturday beforehand for the runners?
That'd be cool. What did sort of contact had you got from overseas? You said with South Island, you had a few people lined up to come.
Yeah, we had 30, I think it was 32 registered people for the event. And they were from, mainly Australia, but we had a few from Canada and the UK who'd signed up. Mm-hmm. And we haven't heard We heard secondhand from somebody the other night, someone saying, oh, the people, they won't be able to make it, so transfer our entries. Mm-hmm. The simple basis, we need to hear from those international people, so from them personally, so we can work out the arrangements for them. Because last year with the Ultra, we allowed them to transfer to the Aotearoa, mm-hmm. and some took that opportunity. We did it virtually as well, so right. people could run 100K or 54K or 24K, and we sent them, did that, and they did that, and we sent them their medals and stuff, most times and everything up for them. And some of those who couldn't do the Ultra this year, we allowed them also to, if they wanted to transfer to other events, that we run with CGM's events. And we've had people doing other half marathons and different things. So we just wanted to make sure that everyone got a fair crack. And if they did it virtually, that's fine. It doesn't matter. They're still in next year's event. So they're all transferred across. So we basically had, I think, when we went from 330-something, we diminished down to about, 230, diminished down to about 200.
Yeah.
But it's grown now to, I can probably tell you, another Ultra. Because they're coming in all the time. It's amazing, really. 314 at the minute.
Wicked.
So that's just continuing to grow. So yeah, when it gets to 600, yeah, I'll be seriously looking to see where it is. I'm on the coast next week to try and tee up a meeting with the Hokitika itself, the town,
yeah,
to say what can we do, where can we do things, who can do what, who can't do what.
Yeah.
It's going to be key critical around the accommodations. The beachfront hotel where we're based with the head office, they're getting bookings coming through. They were basically, I think when we had to shut down, they were about 95%. They had about 4 or 5 beds or something left. And William was great. You know, they just refunded everyone fully.
Wow.
He said, well, shit, that's what we'll do. So they did that. And other people just transferred to him. We'll just transfer doing it next year. So just keep hold of our bookings. So mm-hmm. that was great. It's a huge opportunity for the town. So we just want that to, put it into there big time.
Now, you mentioned a concession of 1,000 people. Who's that with?
That's with Doc. So we've got a 10-year concession. We do Ride the Wilderness, a mountain bike race on the trail.
Mm-hmm.
And from Ross right down to Greymouth, we do 4 races in one day. And we did a variation to that. So the South Island Ultra has got another 7 years on that current concession. So it's funny because we're limited to 1,000 runners, but we're limited to 1,200 bikers.
Mm.
So I'm not quite sure how that one works, but might have just been the mood the person was in when they signed it off. I don't know.
And with the Aotearoa, what was the sort of reasoning behind 300 or 350, whatever it was?
Yeah, that was limited. They were concerned about how much damage big-footed fellas like you would do to Mount Herbert going through there. I sent an email off today saying I'll be applying for the 10 years now. What issues do you have? And see if they've got any feedback on it. It would be good to have that extended, because that limit was held for going over. There's only a few Ks that you actually go across Dockland,
mm-hmm.
and technically you're not meant to take photos in that area as well.
Yes.
So we went through our marketing photos beforehand to make sure we hadn't taken any photos while we're standing on Dockland.
Yeah.
And the angles, and one of them was, one of the main ones we did the promotion was probably about 5 meters more like good luck than good management, that we weren't on their land at that stage. So, the video that Takaki released yesterday, I think there's only about one when he's walking up towards Mount Herbert, That would be very close, but I think they would accept what the imagery and great marketing has got for it as well.
So you posted that up today. That was on the Facebook page, wasn't it?
Yeah, we put it up on the Facebook page as well. It's really worth watching because it just highlights what you go through. And for those guys early in the morning doing the 101K, they came across like about six or seven big bulls. When I went through there, I had to drive around and this bull wasn't going to be shifting for anyone. It looked like it wasn't shifting for me. And then the runners are running along and this big fella's running along the road in front of them.
Oh dear. That'd be scary. So where do people find all the events? As we just said, they can go on Facebook and look up Aotearoa Ultra as well and see that video. Where do they find
it? So if they go to Aotearoa Ultra and click on other events,
okay,
you get a full list of what our events are, or you can go to cjmsevents.co.nz and it shows all the events that we do there. So there's a huge array of them and there's probably a couple on the pipeline. But I'm told we're not allowed anymore. But yeah, that's up to Carol. She's the boss, mate. You know,
she's the boss. You're the kit man. So
right.
So John, what I usually get people to leave us with is what's something that sort of continues to show up in your life when things seem to be going well, or a way that you'd live your life, or something that never does you any wrong. It can be a quote or just an ideal.
Yes, I don't know. Just do it, mate. You know. Yeah, in life you're going to get heaps of things thrown at, challenges thrown at you. Just keep going, don't stop.
Love it. And that does come in handy when you're in the hurt box.
Yeah, that's right. And I think for yourself, was it 7 hours 35, is it?
Yeah, it was
7:35, 7:32. It's a big day at the office, mate. That's good.
Yeah, and I'm after going off and sort of moving back about four places, I'm not sure whether it was a blessing or a missed opportunity, because I always have the thought that if I'd had those four people chasing me, would I have had a little bit of competitive edge and hurt myself a little bit more.
Well, Jake had that same thought, who won the 101, when he realized he was in the lead going up the summit road, which we call the Bastard.
Yes,
he didn't stop. He just kept running. He said he's not letting anyone, he's in front. Someone's got to beat him now. They've got to catch him. So he just ran and ran and ran. And when you saw his face when he crossed that finish line, he was one stoked man.
Oh, yeah. It was a hell of an achievement, hell of a time. And it was pretty impressive when he told us that they'd gone to that first station in 2 hours. And then he tried to tell us that it was slow. I said, there's a big mountain in the road.
I was actually a bit disappointed in how long it took them south as well. I was more worried about all my cutoffs then, mate, that I'd redone my maths wrong.
Lovely. Now you also got the course maximised with that 18 hours 58 as well.
Yeah, with Taco, he was, Carol had to. The funny thing was she had the medal out and she's, oh, here's his medal. And I said, well, if he doesn't hit 12 hours, he doesn't get it. 12 o'clock. And she was away putting it away and we saw the two lights with the tail end Charlie at him coming and us sprinting towards the finish. It was just priceless, you know. So the medal came back out and, he was just over the moon. It's getting value for your money, that.
Yeah, and then he picked up a third place as well. So like you said, don't stop.
Yeah, that's right. Don't stop. You could be on the podium.
Beautiful, John. I'll let you enjoy the rest of that Christchurch evening. And, thank you very much for a great event and coming on and running it through.
Yeah, no, thanks very much. And, if anyone wants to have a look at anything, just go for it. So, that's cool. Look forward to them next year. I look to them South Island Ultra. That'd be great.
Lovely. Cheers. Just do it, eh? Simple, effective. That's why Nike used that as a slogan. Because it's a great way to get shit done, achieve those things that you want to do, and despite your sort of wiser knowledge, if you just get after something, start doing something, it's amazing what you can achieve. What a journey the last 6 months have been. As I said to Hal's growing up in Invercargill, seeing things like the Kepler, seeing things like Coast to Coast, you know, listening to people like Les Tarmati, now seeing people like David Goggins and Cameron Haynes, Courtney DeWalder, Zach Bitter that we've been lucky enough to talk to, you know, the 100-mile world record holder. That itch was always there to do something big in terms of enduro. Got asked today about the Ironman. My boss is in training for that. And I follow the freak Simon Cochrane and Terenzo Bisogni on Instagram as well. And yeah, again, that's something that's pretty cool. So who knows what the next year or two will come. Have to save up and get a big bit of gear if I'm going to do something like that. But yeah, it's cool. Excited for both my brother and my mum to be doing the swim at the Challenge Wanaka next month. And yeah, all you other legends out there getting after it. I see the Adams, Klang and Khan are in training hard for the Coast to Coast. So that's going to be cool. If you are doing something, sing out, I'd love to have a chat. I was having a yarn with someone today that they're doing 100 this weekend. They were after their latest training run. It's just awesome to see people getting after it, and as John just said, they're just doing it. And like he said, he's got 26 events on offer, all shapes and sizes, and a couple of disciplines there: duathlons, biking, ultras, marathons. Even as it's on this Saturday, checking wine and run like that. That actually sounds quite appealing right now. I wouldn't have said the same thing on Sunday morning, but yeah, awesome. Circle of Savages. Just keep it on. Love seeing your work. Tag me if you're out there doing something. And yeah, get in touch. Thanks.